the clock ticked its rhythmic tock. It finally stuttered its way to 1 o'clock, and Vimes got up and went into the oblong office.
"Oh, Vimes," said Lord Vetinari, looking up.
"Yes, sir."
Vimes had managed a few hours' sleep and had even attempted to shave. The patrician shuffled some papers on his desk.
"It seems to have been a very busy night last night."
"Yes, sir."
Vimes stood to attention. All uniformed men knew in their very soul how to act in circumstances like this. You just stared straight ahead, for one thing.
"It appears that I have Dragon King of Arms in the cells."
"Yes, sir."
"I've read your report. Somewhat tenuous evidence, I feel."
"Sir?"
"One of your witnesses isn't even alive, Vimes."
"No, sir. Neither is the suspect, sir, technically."
"He is, however, an important civic figure, an authority."
"Yes, sir."
Lord Vetinari shuffled some of the papers on his desk. One of them was covered in sooty finger marks.
"It also appears I have to commend you, Commander."
"Sir?"
"The heralds at the Royal College of Arms, or at least what remains of the Royal College of Arms, have sent me a note saying how bravely you worked last night."
"Sir?"
"Letting all those heraldic animals out of the pens and raising the alarm and so on. A tower of strength, they've called you. I gather most of the creatures are lodging with you at the present time."
"Yes, sir. Couldn't stand by and let them suffer, sir. We've got some empty pens, sir, and Keith and Roderick are doing well in the lake. They've taken a liking to Sybil, sir."
Lord Vetinari coughed. Then he stared up at the ceiling for a while.
"So you, assisted in the fire?"
"Yes, sir. Civic duty, sir."
"The fire was caused by a candlestick falling over, I understand. Possibly after your fight with the Dragon King of Arms."
"So I believe, sir."
"And so, it seems, do the heralds."
"Anyone told Dragon King of Arms?"
said Vimes innocently.
"Yes."
"Took it well, did he?"
"He screamed a lot, Vimes, in a heart-rending fashion, I am told. And I gather he uttered a number of threats against you for some reason."
"I shall try to fit him into my busy schedule, sir."
"Bingly bongly beep,"
said a small bright voice. Vimes slapped a hand against his pocket. Lord Vetinari fell silent for a moment. His fingers drummed softly on his desk.
"Many fine old manuscripts in that place, I believe. Without price, I am told."
"Yes, sir. Certainly worthless, sir."
"Is it possible you misunderstood what I just said, Commander?"
"Could be, sir."
"The provenances of many splendid old families went up in smoke, Commander. Of course, the heralds will do what they can, and the families themselves keep records, but frankly, I understand, it's all going to be patchwork and guesswork. Extremely embarrassing." "Are you smiling, Commander?"
"It was probably a trick of the light, sir."
"Commander, I always used to consider that you had a definite anti-authoritarian streak in you."
"Sir?"
"It seems that you have managed to retain this even though you are I've only got to be unwell for a few days, and you manage to upset everyone of any importance in this city.
Sir!
Was that a yes, sir, or a no, sir, Sir Samuel?
It was just a sir, sir.
Lord Bettinari glanced at a piece of paper.
Did you really punch the presidents of the Assassin's Guild?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Didn't have a dagger, sir.
Bettinari turned away abruptly.
The council of churches, temples, sacred groves, and big ominous rocks is demanding, well, a number of things, several of them involving wild horses. Initially, however, they want me to sack you.
Yes, sir?
In all, I've had 17 demands for your badge. Some want parts of your body attached. Why did you have to upset everybody?
I suppose it's a knack, sir.
But what could you hope to achieve?
Well, sir, since you ask, we found out who murdered Father Tubblecheck and Mr. Hopkinson and who was poisoning you, sir.
Vimes paused.
2 out of 3 is not bad, sir.
Bettinari riffled through the papers again.
Workshop owners, assassins, priests, butchers, you seem to have infuriated most of the city.
He sighed.
Really, it seems I have no choice. As of this week, I'm giving you a pay rise.
Vimes blinked.
Sir?
Nothing unseemly. $10 a month. And I expect they need a new dartboard in the watch house. They usually do, I recall.
It's detritus,
said Vimes, his mind unable to think of anything other than an honest reply.
He tends to split them.
Oh, yes. And talking of splits, Vimes, I wonder if your forensic genius could help me with a little conundrum we found this morning.
The patrician stood up and headed for the stairs.
Yes, sir? What is it?
Said Vimes, following him down.
It's in the rat's chamber, Vimes.
Really, sir?
Bettinari pushed open the double doors.
Voila! That's some kind of musical instrument, isn't it, sir?
No, Commander. The word means, what is that in the table?
Vimes looked into the room. There was no one there. The long mahogany table was bare, except for the axe. It had embedded itself in the wood very deeply, almost splitting the table along its entire length. Someone had walked up to the table and brought an axe down right in the centre as hard as they could, and then left it there, its handle pointing towards the ceiling.
That's an axe,
said Vimes.
Astonishing! And you've barely had time to study it. Why is it there?
Really couldn't say, sir.
According to the servants, Sir Samuel, you came into the palace at 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, yes, sir. To check that the bastard was safely in a cell, sir. And to see that everything was all right, of course.
You didn't come into this room?
Vimes kept his gaze fixed somewhere on the horizon.
Why should I have done that, sir?
The patrician tapped the axe handle. It vibrated with a faint thumping noise.
I believe some of the city council met in here this morning, or came in here, at least. I'm told they hurried out very quickly, looking rather disturbed, I'm told.
Maybe it was one of them that did it, sir.
That is, of course, a possibility. I suppose you won't be able to find one of your famous clues on the thing?
Shouldn't think so, sir. Not with all those fingerprints on it.
It would be a terrible thing, would it not, if people thought they could take the law into their own hands?
Oh, no fear of that, sir. I'm holding on tightly to it.
Lord Vetinari plunked the axe again.
Tell me, Sir Samuel, do you know the phrase quis custodiet ipsos custodes?
It was an expression Carrot had occasionally used, but Vimes was not in the mood to admit anything.
Can't say that I do, sir. Something about trifle, is it?
It means who guards the guards themselves, Sir Samuel.
Ah!
Well?
Sir?
Who watches the watch, I wonder?
Oh, that's easy, sir. We watch one another.
Really? An intriguing point.
Lord Vetinari walked out of the room and back into the main hall, with Vimes trailing behind him.
However, in order to keep the peace, the golem will have to be destroyed.
No, sir.
Allow me to repeat my instruction.
No, sir.
I'm sure I just gave you an order, Commander. I distinctly felt my lips move.
No, sir. He's alive, sir.
He's just made of clay, Vimes.
Aren't we all, sir? According to them pamphlets Constable Visit keeps handing out. Anyway, he thinks he's alive, and that's good enough for me.
The patrician waved a hand towards the stairs and his office full of paper.
Nevertheless, Commander, I've had no less than 9 missives from leading religious figures declaring that he is an abomination.
Yes, sir. I've given that viewpoint a lot of thought, sir, and reached the following conclusion. Our souls to the lot of them, sir.
The patrician's hand covered his mouth for a moment.
Sir Samuel, you are a harsh negotiator. Surely you can give and take.
Couldn't say, sir.
Vimes walked to the main doors and pushed them open.
Fog's lifted, sir. There's a bit of cloud, but you can see all the way across the brass bridge.
What will you use the golem for?
Not use, sir. Employ. I thought he might be useful to keep the peace, sir.
A watchman?
Yes, sir. Haven't you heard, sir? Golems do all the mucky jobs.
Vetinari watched him go and sighed.
He does so like a dramatic exit, he said.
Yes, my lord,
said Drumnut, who had appeared noiselessly at his shoulder.
Oh, Drumnut!
The patrician took a length of candle out of his pocket and handed it to his secretary.
Dispose of this somewhere safely, will you?
Yes, my lord.
It's the candle from the other night.
It's not burned down, my lord, but I saw the candle end in the holder.
Oh, of course, I cut off enough to make a stub and let the wick burn for a moment. I couldn't let our gallant policeman know I'd worked it out for myself, could I? Not when he was making such an effort and having so much fun being Vimes. I'm not completely heartless, you know.
But, my lord... My lord, you could have sorted it out diplomatically. Instead, he went around upsetting things and making a lot of people very angry and afraid.
Yes, dear me.
Oh, said Drumnut.
Quite so. patrician.
Do you wish me to have the table in the rat's chamber repaired?
No, Drumknot. Leave the axe where it is. It will make a good conversation piece, I think.
May I make an observation, my lord?
Of course you may,
said Bettinari, watching Vimes walk through the palace gate.
The thought occurs, sir, that if Commander Vimes did not exist, you would have had to invent him.
You know, Drumknot, I rather think I did.